The Europeans could go even further to help Greece avoid default.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California and is supported by Putnam Investments, recognizing the value of financial advice since 1937. Putnam Investments, a world of investing.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now, the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics at the intersection of the U.S. and the rest of the world. The European Union is preparing to offer more financial help to Greece. That's on top of last year's near $160 billion bailout. Marketplace's Stephen Beard is with us live from London with the latest. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, Steve.
So why does Greece need more help?
Well, the markets have forced this issue. They believe that Greece is in so much debt and its economy is so deeply mired in recession that it's not going to be able to go back to the markets and borrow next year as planned. I mean, when you look at the interest rates, Steve, that the Greeks now have to pay for long-term loans, 15%. That compares with 3% for Germany. That says there's a risk of a Greek default, and the Greeks you can't pay 15% for their money. It's unsustainable.
Now, what sort of help, though, is Greece going to get, Stephen?
Well, it might be more cash, it might be more time to pay, but there's little doubt they will get some help. Martina Stivas of the Greek Free newspaper says the EU can't afford for Greece to default because that might lead to other bailed-out countries also defaulting, and that would be disastrous.
If you add up the Greek debt, the Irish debt, the Portuguese debt, and potentially the Spanish debt, we've got a really explosive situation for European banks, especially in France and in Germany, who are massively exposed to these sovereign borrowers.
Nevertheless, the Germans in particular are not going to be happy about cutting the Greeks some slack because other bailed-out countries might demand easier terms too. And the Germans are terrified that these loans, these bailout loans, are going to turn into grants and Germany will end up picking up the tab.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London. Stephen, thank you.
Okay, Steve.
High-level meetings between U.S. and Chinese officials get underway today. Among the items on the agenda, America's big trade deficit with China and currency exchange rates. Now, critics say China's manipulated the UN to sell more products on the global market. But what exactly does that mean? Marketplace's China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz explains.
So you're going on a trip to China and you need to change some money. All things being equal, one of your dollars should buy 4 yuan. That's what economists at the IMF say is the fairest exchange rate given the country's finances. But not all things are equal. In fact, if you ask your bank to change $1 into Chinese currency today, you'd get more than 6 yuan. That seems like a good thing. Maybe you could buy some more stuff on your trip. But on the global scale, an undervalued currency means China can export its products at cheaper prices, which, according to many members of Congress, puts American manufacturers at a disadvantage. In fact, China has been raising the value of the currency in recent years. But according to economist Andy Rothman, not everyone's happy with the pace.
The party's approach is gradual, slower is better. It's less risky than doing things abruptly. And they would argue that a 5 to 7% appreciation pace every year, which is what they did between 2005 and 2008 and again today, is actually not so slow.
But Chinese officials will hear a very different opinion this week as they sit down with their American counterparts. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Global markets are mixed right now. China Southern Airlines said today it's going to buy 6 Boeing aircraft at a cost of $1.1 billion. Wall Street Friday, the Dow added 54 points to close at 12,638.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering its Raise Your Rate CD as well as online savings account and money market account. Learn more at allybank.com. By CSX, whose trains move a ton of freight nearly 500 miles on 1 gallon of fuel to help reduce fuel consumption. CSX, how tomorrow moves. And by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733.
According to the United Nations, the population of planet Earth will top 7 billion on Halloween this year. Chances are that child will be born in India. The country is likely to replace China as the world's most populous nation in the next 15 years. And India's population growth is the subject of today's Globalist Quiz. Joining us now is our quizmaster, Stefan Richter from theglobalist.com. Good morning, Stefan.
Good morning, Steve. Ready for today's globalist quiz?
I am ready. Let's do it.
So my question to you is, India now has 1.2 billion people.
Yes.
It increased, obviously, the Indian population over the last decade. Question is, just by how much did the population of India increase by the equivalent of the entire population of A, Germany, B, Russia, C, Pakistan, or D, the United States?
I'm going to say Germany.
That is a good answer only if I'd asked you by how much the global population in total increases each year, which is by an entire Germany, 82 million people.
But
India has increased, obviously, by more.
All right. Let's go with Russia.
No Russia.
No Russia.
No Russia.
Well, Pakistan.
Can you imagine what that means in terms of Pakistani psychology, that India increased its population by 181 million people over one decade, whereas Pakistan only has 189 million people in total? But here's the real upshot for our American listeners. Between now and 2035, the population of India is expected to rise by 313 million people.
About the population of the United States.
Imagine what that does to India, which, yes, has a nice large geography, but a lot of people, and adding 300 million people between now and then. Imagine the pressures on the environment and on the earth altogether.
Stefan Richter from The Globalist. Stefan, thanks.
Good to have been with you today.
And finally, not only did George Washington help found our nation, he also was a big-time brewmaster, whipping up batches of the barley blend. The New York Public Library has the handwritten recipe and is teaming up with a brewer to recreate the beer. The brew won't be sold commercially, but it will be offered at a couple of big shindigs in New York. That beer recipe, by the way, is at our website, marketplace.org. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Technology is one of the heroes of the Middle East revolutions, but this hero also has a tragic flaw, because it can help the bad guys as much as it helps the good ones.
Essentially, a lot of countries in the Middle East and Asia like to monitor all data in and outbound from their borders.
I'm Tess Vigeland, a double-edged social media sword. Next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.